Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, December 21, 2022. The winter solstice. Is it coincidence that Zelensky will be in Washington, D.C. today? I'm asking. I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. Eric the Tech, what do you think? Winter solstice? Ukraine? Nuclear weapons? Depopulation? What do you think?
Tatters.
I'm going to make a song of tatters. By the way, I'm excited because Eric Tech's working on a new rollout of something new to adapt. You see, in this industry, you either adapt or you die. So when people come after you and try to shut you down and take you off platforms and stuff, so we have, I just can't wait until you see what is being rolled out. To refine what we have. All right. A lot of news to get into from, my goodness, from the bioweapon released in Wuhan. More on that. What's happening in Brazil? What's happening in Peru? The intelligence community coup. More on that, because that continues. And how the IC, along with the Department of State, got into, got into the remake or attempted remake of the power structure in Europe. Think Arab Spring. That has a lot to do with things even today. And then, of course, this huge, disgraceful spending bill in the wee hours of the morning, 4,155 pages. I got to tell you, folks, I attempted to read some of it, okay? I mean, I was getting into it. And man, oh man, oh man. but some of the stuff I found, with the help of other people looking at different parts of the bill, let me talking about that, because you have a bunch. If after this, if this passes, by the way, and there's a lot of ifs here, but if this passes, you might as well take Nancy Pelosi and stick her in the speaker's position for the next 12 months. The mummified Pelosi. Because it will be her policies, the policies of the left, the policies of the communists, the policies of the Uniparty, the puppets of the World Economic Forum and the Party of Davos that'll be ruling Congress for the next 12 to 14 to 16 months. That's right. And you can thank both Republicans and Democrats, at least 20 Republicans on... It's just ridiculous how this plays out. So we have that. You know, people better pay attention to what's going on in Arizona, with what's going on with the election fraud there. I've got some stuff on that. And then some other miscellaneous items. But first I want to go to what's happening in Brazil. Now, I've often referred to Michael Termond with Steve Bannon. Michael Termond really is an expert on all things. I mean, he knows what's going on in Latin America and South America and really in the entire Western Hemisphere. I want you to listen to this minute and a half clip. This from Matthew Termond yesterday during an on-location of the war room. But this is important, what he's going to say about Brazil, about the fact that you've got you've got a communist, this Lula, he's a communist, using this essentially the same machines, the same software as the U.S. did in 2020 to be placed into the presidential position in Brazil over Bolsonaro, the people's choice. Are you hearing anything about this in the mainstream media? No. What you will be hearing about, however, is when Lula hopefully gets tossed, you're going to hear about this January 6th style coup taking place in Brazil. But here's Matthew Termon, video number 4 in the show notes. Here it is.
Give me 60 seconds on Brazil, Bolsonaro, and the evangelical Christians. Are they going to stand up and make sure that Lula, the international criminal, is not going to steal their country?
Yes, they have to. Otherwise, Brazil is Venezuela in 3 months. Gulags will be built. They are going to war on the streets. Last night, a source told me that the military tribunal, the Supreme Court of the military, put an ultimatum to the electoral court that we talk about every day and said, you give us the machines by midnight last night.
Wow.
They ignored it. Wow. This gives them the pretext this week to act and invoke Article 142. Wow. And you're right. It is a prayerful movement on the ground. It is a Christian, evangelical, and Catholic movement. So at 4 a.m. yesterday morning, the federal police that report to the Supreme Court, Marias, arrested one of the leading pastors. He was asleep in his tent. At 4 a.m., they dragged him out of the tent. They arrested him. And then the other protesters got video of 12 police cars, sirens blazing, as they took him to jail. This is Stalinism. This is Venezuela. If they do not win, the Southern Hemisphere is gone. China controls it, and they're coming for us next.
By the way,
they better win.
If they defeat the evangelical Christians in Brazil, they're going to do it here in the United States. It's coming. We have to pray for everybody in Brazil and have their back.
They appreciate you so much, you, Tucker, Emerald, the few outlets that are covering this, because the revolution will not be televised. Well, starting next week, after they invoke Article 142, global media is going to wake up and call this a coup. No, this is the quelling of a coup, constitutionally endowed by the Constitution, Article 142, hopefully coming in the next 48 hours.
How do people follow you?
At Matthew Termon, MattTermond, at War Room.
All right, you heard what he just said. The media is going to mischaracterize this as a coup when, in fact, it's a constitutional remedy of Brazil to do this. The people of Brazil, and I've been in contact with people on the ground in Brazil. I'll just say this: one individual will be on this program, along with a second individual, to assist in the translation, so it's not so cumbersome, okay? But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of stuff going on there in Brazil, and it sounds a lot like Canada, doesn't it? With the arrest of an evangelical, pulling him out of a tent? I'm telling you, this is what is being prepared for the United States in 2024. Did you hear me on that? This is what's being prepared. All right. Please keep the people of Brazil in your prayers. Please keep watching that. Also watch what is taking place in Peru. Somewhat of the same things are taking place in Peru. But Brazil is really the keystone of the Southern Hemisphere. And again, understand that there is coordination with the Party of Davos, the World Economic Forum, and the CCP in Brazil, as there is with Justin Castro in Canada, otherwise known as Trudeau up there in Canada. All right. I want to get into this spending bill, because this is absolutely ridiculous. $1.7 trillion spending bill. In the dead of night, 4,155 pages. This involves our tax money. And when you hear about what is going on with this, you'll just be amazed. If this bill passes in the next few days, The Department of Justice's budget. Now, listen to this, because this is a big takeaway from this. Quote, to further support prosecutions related to the January 6th attack on the Capitol and domestic terrorism cases will increase by $212.1 million from the current levels of $2.63 billion annual budget. The Department of Justice did not even ask for this. This is being given to them. The Department of Justice previously asked Congress for only $34 million in its 2023 budget to fund 130 employees to investigate the 80 January 6th prisoners. No, these people are going all out. Folks, listen to me. They are widening the nets even when they're not in power, courtesy of the rhinos in power and taking power in this next Congress. Understand, they're coming for us. By the way, if this does pass, the FBI's total budget would be $11.33 billion. $11.33 billion. I should add that the FBI has already arrested nearly 900 people in relation to the January 6th incidents. This, according to NBC News, the FBI has not arrested all those it wants to. This is a quote now. All those it wants to in connection with the incident. That, according to whistleblowers. Believe me, I know this for a fact. We know this for a fact. They're coming after us. And just in case you didn't think you were giving enough to that Zelensky who cares more about having his picture on the front of Vogue magazine than anything else, yeah, $41 billion. An additional $41 billion has been earmarked for Ukraine. That on top of whatever is north of $50 million that's already been given him unaudited. You're going to like this one. In this omnibus bill, $200 million for gender equity in Pakistan. Okay. Gender equity in Pakistan. Are you friggin' serious? If this doesn't piss you off, there's no hope. $500 million for a structural racism focused NIH subdivision. In other words, the National Institute of Health is going to have a subdivision for structural racism to combat that. Is that in their charter? Is that under their tutelage? $3 million. Oh, help me. Help me. You ready for this one? $3 million for an LGBTQ plus museum in New York City. And let's not forget 20. Eric the Tech, thank you. Thank you. Let's not forget $26 million for the House of Representatives Office of Diversity and Inclusion. More on this to come. Oh, I guess we can do. Why don't we play video 6? This is Rand Paul, and you can actually see the bill. Not that you really need to see it, right? It's just a bunch of papers that was wheeled out using a cart. Utility cart, because that's how big it is. They had to, but these are the pieces of crap, and I mean pieces of crap that are in Washington D.C. that are making the laws on behalf of you and I, that are taking the money, that are allocating the money, our money, the money we pay in taxes, in federal taxes, This is what they're doing with it. It's a shame. They need to be ashamed of themselves. And I'll tell you what, I believe if our forefathers were here right now, they'd have the guts to hang these people from lampposts. You know, you got, what, 160 plus combined years between the two morons in D.C., one on the way out, Shelby, and who's the other one? Well, you'll see it here pretty soon. But let's go to... let's go to video six. This is Rand Paul on the $1.7 trillion spending bill. We don't have to play all of it, but here it is.
I brought with me the Omni, 4,155 pages. When was it produced? In the dead of the night, 1:30 in the morning when it was released. Now, people argue that it's conservatives' fault. You don't have the Christmas spirit. Somehow you're holding up government. Well, whose job is it to produce this? The people in charge of spending. The people in charge of both of the parties. When did they know that this would be necessary? Well, it's in the law, September 30th. You got 9 months, almost 10 months, to produce a plan, to have a spending plan. They weren't ready on September 30th, so they voted themselves 90 more days. They weren't ready last week either, so they voted themselves another week. And now we have it at 1:30 in the morning this morning. But what's the clamor? The clamor is to vote. Vote now. Let's get it done. Why are you standing in the way of spending? Well, the real question is this. What is more dangerous? What is more dangerous to the country? $1.1 trillion in new debt, or as Republican leadership likes to say, oh, but it's a win. It's a big win. We're getting $45 billion for the military. So which is more important? Which threatens the country more? Are we at risk for being invaded by a foreign power if we don't put $45 billion into the military? Or are we more at risk by adding to a $31 trillion debt? I think the greatest risk to our national security is our debt. The process stinks. It's an abomination. It's a no good, rotten way to run your government. $6 trillion entity, and they want 24 hours to process this, and then they want to go forward. I will be demanding two amendments. One, that this goes against the budget rules. The PAYGO rules say you can't do this. You can't have all this new spending unless it's offset. We will also be demanding that the PAYGO rules are increased. Instead of taking 60 votes to evade the rules, we're going to ask that it be a two-thirds vote to evade the rules. The American people don't want this. They're sick and tired of it. They're paying for it through the nose with inflation. Adding $1 trillion to the deficit will simply fuel the fires that are consuming our wages and consuming our retirement plans. It's a terrible system. Someone needs to stand up. We're standing up, and we're going to say
okay, you
no.
can cut that. All right, there we go. That was Rand Paul, but for all the bluster and for all the yipping and yapping, is anything can be done? What can be done? Let's go to video seven, Steve Cortez. I believe I have this in the correct order, video seven. Again, forgive me if this might not be. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. But Steve Cortez suggests what we can do, because we can't let this stand. If we allow this to pass, if we give these people a pass, okay, without putting up a stink about this. I mean, you've got an 88-year-old guy. You've got an 82-year-old man. You got Shelby and McConnell. Okay, Shelby is on his way out. 82-year-old guy, so that's, what is that, 90? It's 170 years between them. This bill being signed by somebody who's 80 years old, Biden, right? These people have to go. I mean, this is term limits. I do believe Steve Cortez gets into this. Let's go to video seven.
Steve, give us an update on the economy and talk to me about this. Tell the audience, because we can hear your voice, about this omnibus bill, brother.
Yeah. No, listen, this is a monstrosity that we have to kill, and we have to do it this week. So I want to encourage everyone out there in the audience to please call your Republican senators and tell them to hold the line. Because if they pass this madness, not only will it stoke further inflation and worsen the already existing inflation crisis in America, it will also effectively make Nancy Pelosi's political corpse the Speaker of the House well into next year, because it will so handcuff the incoming House majority. Now, regarding that inflation and the decrepit state of the U.S. economy right now, if we can show chart number two right here, I want to show the stock of Amazon. Now, none of us are fans of Amazon or of Jeff Bezos, okay? I think this is one of the most abusive companies in all of America and should be broken up. But regardless, set that aside for a moment. It's a key gauge on the health of the U.S. consumer, because it is so ubiquitous now in the lives of the of American purchasing. That chart goes back 5 years on Amazon. Look what has happened in the last year. It has been more than cut in half. As of yesterday, Steve, it is the first company to ever lose $1 trillion in market cap. Now, again, I understand there may be folks out there who say, good, I want the executives of Amazon to be punished. But here's the reality. First of all, there are hundreds of thousands of other employees who are surely going to suffer. But much more importantly, this is reflective of the intense weakness and the worsening situation of the consumer in the United States. We talked last week, Steve, about the retail sales data that came out that was absolutely dreadful for the month of November. When you combine that economic data with this market action, and price is truth, okay, this matters. Amazon okay, is right
if
now
you can
priced
pause
where it was
and hold
in 20.
That. And you can dump that for a moment. Okay, yesterday Tucker Carlson got into this, all right? Recession. There is no recession. You know that, right? There's no recession. Why is there no recession? Because just like they did with the word vaccine, they changed the definition of recession. You see, it used to be in olden days. I'm old enough to remember this. Actually, Eric the Tech's old enough to remember this. Actually, his son, 4 years old, is old enough to remember the definition of recession, which is two back-to-back quarters of decline in terms of economic decline. That's essentially the definition of recession. So what they do, or what they did, was they changed the definition so they wouldn't look so bad. You see, this is Orwellian to the max. Now, what Steve Cortez is talking about with Amazon, I hope Amazon crashes and burns. Bezos said one time, Amazon, you know, may not be here at some point. I believe that to be the case. I want to be able to go down to a local store, buy my stuff from a local store, know where it came from. I don't want some crap from Vietnam or from China that's going to just break down after, you know, 60 days. I want to be able to buy meat that I'm confident in. I want to be able to buy tools that are made in America. I want to be able to buy a car. And I know, hey, look, I know this is asking too much, but that's made in America. I want to be able to buy pharmaceuticals that were made in America. Right now, you know what? We're having a shortage on certain antibiotics. You know why? Because China. That's all I have to say, because China. What the hell are we doing getting our antibiotics from China? It's because big, well, you know the answer to that. Big pharma, big profits, right? So, who gives a damn about the quality control? But see, what Cortez said there makes a lot of sense. So this omnibus spending bill takes this, and look, Trump was guilty of this. I don't care if there was an R or D after the name of the president. The deficit has gone up. And, you know, you could say, well, no, really, the deficit hasn't gone. Okay, or the spending's been cut. Unemployment has gone down. Okay, have you been outside? Have you been anywhere recently? For those of you who want to say that. Because if you have, the only question I have to you is, what in the hell is wrong with you? Let's go with Cortez again, if that's okay.
18 4 years of value creation gone from one of the most dominant companies in all of America. Why? Because of what Biden is doing to the U.S. consumer, chiefly via inflation, sending consumer confidence in recent weeks to the lowest level in the post-World War II era. Okay? The idea of passing a mammoth omnibus, further stoking inflation, and at the same time, politically handcuffing the incoming GOP House is an absurdity. Let me also ask this, Steve. The guys who are driving this, there's two people specifically on the Senate side, Richard Shelby and Patrick Leahy. Both of them are days away from retirement. They are never going to have to face voters again, okay? And this is their signature send-off, their valedictory FU to the American people. By the way, combined, I had to look this up. First of all, Leahy's 82 years old. Shelby's 88 years old. Combined, they have served 84 years in the United States Senate, okay? 84 years they have served in the United States Senate. They are the poster boys, or at least they should be, for term limits, and they are about to pass a bill that will be signed by an 80-year-old president who has been in Washington, D.C. for 50 years. So if you want to see Exhibit A of what permanent Washington does to punish you, what it does to make you poorer, okay? We've had roughly 50 years of declining real wages in the United States. No coincidence. To send $85 billion in this omnibus monstrosity over to Ukraine to escalate a war in which America has no discernible U.S. national interest, okay? But here's the thing. As awful as this is, Steve, I do believe there's a chance, even if it's a slim one, there's a chance to stop this week. And everyone in the posse, all the deplorables out there, please get activated for your own self-interest and most importantly for the patriotic interest of this country to stop this omnibus. It is
okay.
Madness.
You can pause and stop and pause that and move it. And I agree. Look, there's a slim to none chance of stopping this. But if I can make someone's life hell for a while, I will. Ask me. Ask that guy yesterday who made the mistake of exposing his scam telephone number to me. And I called him back and I said, here's the deal. I'm going to call you every minute of today, every minute of tomorrow, every minute I can. And I am going to just make you wish you never attempted to scam me. And every minute that I have you on the phone or have your phone tied up is another minute perhaps that you can't scam someone else or attempt to scam someone else. This is how we have to fight. We have to get, look, whatever we got to do, we call these people up and we say, you know what? Not only, look, just because you're leaving Congress, I don't care, or the Senate or the House of Representatives, it doesn't matter. We will follow you around for the rest of your days. And when you die, we're going to follow your family around and shame you and shame them for what you've done to this country. Because we have to take the Alinsky rulebook, turn it and use it in our favor. We have, this is a must. We must do this. And if we don't do this, who will? If you don't do this, who's going to do this? I want to show you the expanded thread. This is page one on the show notes. This goes through some of the things I've already mentioned, but I'm not even sure who did this. The heading is, my team and I are reading through the omnibus bill today, all $1.7 trillion and 4,155 pages. This is by Representative Dan Bishop. I'm sorry about this, Representative Bishop. But if you look at this, okay, now I'm going to go through this just briefly because you can find this at HagmanReport.com, the link to this, and you can download this and show your friends, your family, especially this Christmas. In fact, fold this up, print it out, fold it up, and stick it in the stocking as someone you really don't care for. Okay, that's what I suggest. Okay, some of the most egregious examples. I'm not going to read this. Again, you can see there. I'm going to go through a couple of them. Okay. Yeah, I am. Because for the radio listeners, I don't mean to forget about you. But my goodness. Hang on. Let me get to it. I got it right here. Okay. All right. So to acquire or to acquire, maintain, or extend border security technology and capabilities, except for technologies and capabilities to improve border patrol processing. Wait, what? So to acquire, maintain, or extend border security technology and capabilities, I got that, comma. Okay, I understand that, comma. Except for technology and capabilities to improve border patrol processing. Eric the Tech, is it because Steve and I were on the phone throughout the night and too late? We didn't get any sleep. Is it me? Do you get that?
Tatters. Read the line below that.
But at the same time, allocates $410 million towards border security for Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, Tunisia, and Oman. Well, that makes me feel better. For crying out loud, I was worried about Oman. I mean, I was up pacing the floors wondering if their border was going to be secure. And look, they came through.
Their borders are going to float to our border.
You know, folks, okay, we are the laughingstock of the friggin' world. And this Shell and Shelby and I keep forgetting Leahy. What a putz. And call, you know, I don't care if you call him a putz. Border security for Oman and Jordan. I look a little rough around the edges there. I do, don't I?
A little bit.
Yeah. I am. I'll tell you what. I spent the night in my office, in case you can't tell. Me and Lady, the studio dog, we spent the night in our office, and she was so upset. She was pacing with me. You know, a few more earmarks in that, if you scroll down on this. Oh, this just makes me want to vomit. A few more earmarks. $477,000 for anti-racist training from the Equity Institute. I want to find the Equity Institute and toilet paper that place. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. $3 million for the LGBT. I told you about that, the museum. I can't even say it because I don't want to say it. $1.2 million in services for DACA recipients, the Dreamers. Of course, they need it to match their shiny new Nikes and their new iPhones and their debit cards given out to them by NGOs, by Catholic Services, and other places. And you, folks, you might think I'm bitching, okay? I am. But hopefully you can learn, pick up a few of these, and even from the HagmanReport.com, the show notes there. And again, stick this in under the nose of your liberal neighbor, or instead of a tip, give this to your. Don't go to Starbucks. Just slip it in the under the thing of Starbucks or whatever. I don't know. But this goes on and 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 on.
Don't forget about this one.
Which one? Okay. Hang on. Where's that at? Let's see. Here are just a handful of the many earmarks in the bill, including $3.6 million for, oh, that's right, the Michelle Obama Trail, the Michael Obama Trail. Now, I have inside information on this one. You go in as a female or as a male, okay, in on this trail, and you come out as a female. This is a Michelle Obama trail. That's why it costs so much.
New tatters.
New tatters. Or they take the tatters off and put them in Obama's, in you know, Barack's pocket.
Tatter tots.
Tatter tots. Right on the money. You can't make I want to know who thought of that. I want to know who's behind this. But no, seriously.
You got to keep reading these. They're hilarious.
Okay, I will. And if an additional $47 billion in Ukrainian funding isn't enough for you, the bill also authorizes, oh gosh, a Ukrainian Independence Park right here in D.C. Wait. So how much is that going to cost? Do we know? I can't see any of that, but I'll tell you what, I've got a little courtyard outside my, in the back of my house. Okay. I'm going to rename that my Ukrainian Independence Park. What do you think of that? Shouldn't I do that? Okay. One more here. Strap in. $524.4 million for a DEI and structural racism focused NIH subdivision. Uh-huh. I mentioned the NIH subdivision before, but again, so we are to believe that structural racism falls under the category of health care pandemic, endemic, perhaps.
Don't forget about the plankton.
The plankton, of course, the plankton. We need, look, I don't know how I can convince you, but we need $300,000 per year for the continuous plankton recorder. We do. I don't know what I need to do to convince you of this.
Clump changes.
Clump or chump? Could be clumpy chump change compared to the rest of the bill. You know, I'll tell you, I like clump change because of the plankton, as de Blasio would say, the plankton element to the fries.
Pakistan.
Jordan, Oman. Oh, Pakistan. Gender programs in Pakistan, because Lord knows this keeps me awake at night, and it's $200 trillion for a gender equity fund.
200 million.
What did I say? 200
trillion.
Trillion? Might as well be. Might as well be gazillion. Seriously, it might as well be. It's all fake money anyway. It's all... I should have a bottle of Maalox here, but I left it in the office.
Gun violence research.
You know, you're doing to this. You're doing this to me on purpose, right? I love it though.
This could be the rest of the show.
Yeah, it could be, but I can't. 7.5 million to better understand the I'm sorry. I'm not sure I can get through this. The 7.5 million to better understand the domestic radicalization phenomenon, plus $1 million for gun violence research. Okay, here's what you don't need the money. Here's all you need to do. Is to go on Libs at TikTok and watch a few videos, and all the answers will be there.
Oh. I'm proud to be a part of that phenomenon.
You know what? I am too. I am too. Does that mean
we get the money?
It seems that way. Do we win something? Like, you know, I love those old Beverly Hillbillies movie or episodes where they keep parking in front of the bank and they keep getting tickets. So, you know, Jed or Jethro would walk out and pull out the ticket and say, here's a $10 or $20 ticket. No, they don't have to do that. That's awful kind of them. So we don't need the money. So they rip up the ticket. I mean, but that must be, we might be the recipients, the happy recipients of such money. Okay. All right.
Just one more.
One more. Okay. Let's do one more. Well, you see, we're going to reformat this platform and call ourselves NPR. Why? Because some $535 million for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which indirectly funds NPR grants. So we're forced to listen to the crap that NPR spews.
And this is how you win elections.
Exactly. Welcome to NPR. You're listening to the NPR broadcast with me. I've got a special guest by the name of Samuel Poetis Doxton-Haber, and he's going to talk to me about his Birkenstocks. Samuel, welcome to NPR. Well, thank you.
I do not like guns. They're scary.
Are you traumatized by guns?
Yes.
Do you, how would you protect yourself in the event of someone coming up and attacking you?
A steak knife.
Do you eat steak?
No.
That's to cut your tofu. All right. We can't be accused of having too much fun.
Nice Birkenstocks.
Hang on a second. I have to go put money in the meter to feed my Prius. Oh. My Tesla's dead. It needs charged. Can I plug it in?
I'm gonna plug it in.
Bend over.
Plugging in my Tesla is the equivalent of plugging in 20 refrigerators at the same time.
No, don't say that. Did you ever notice NPR, how they talk on NPR? Drives me absolutely crazy. The best thing on NPR was the car guys, and that's been forever. I don't know. But Eric's like, what's that?
Doug, you talk too slow.
Bite me. I don't care. Seriously, you sit in the, I'll tell you what, you go to court enough times, and when you sit there and when you give testimony, you talk, if you should talk too fast, okay, you'll get a warning by the judge. If you continue to talk too fast, I'm going to tell you that warning becomes a little bit more severe, okay? So, yeah. You spend 35 years doing that.
Tatters.
Yeah, I left in tatters, tears and tatters. So that's why my cadence is as such, because after 35 years of investigating and testifying, you never want to get ahead of the stenographer. Okay, you just don't want to do that. So, and when the stenographer stops and turns around and looks at you, then you know you're in trouble. All right. Where was I? On my sheet.
Have you ever thrown a TV in the courtroom?
I invoke my... Well, you know what? The statute of limitations has passed. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I have, and I threw it at the judge. I didn't... Thankfully, I didn't make it, but I threw it in that direction, in that general direction.
And this wasn't a flat screen.
No, this is the old kind of TV. But it was a small one. It was a desktop one that weighed about, I don't know, 40 pounds.
Was it on a cart?
No, it was on a table. Okay, so, but it had a built-in VCR. But, yeah, there was a little dust up there. And that judge was brought up on charges, actually, because of what happened prior to that. But maybe I should write a book about certain experiences. What do you think? By the way, follow us on Rumble and Brighteon, as well as Spreaker, okay, and all of the audio platforms.
The ones that'll have us for now.
Yeah, for now, until we go completely rogue, and then we'll be more dangerous than ever. So, go ahead and call. Go ahead and tell go ahead and tell on us. And by the way, you don't think I know? You don't think we know who's doing this? Who's behind this? Yeah. All right. Speaking of coups or coops, speaking of this, Kash Patel was on with Steve Bannon talking about the rogue operations of the intelligence state. This is video 5. I broke this down into 2 segments because what was happening then is happening now. Kash Patel, I'm going to tell you, it was an integral part of the Trump administration. Now, this has really nothing to do with whether or not you care for Trump or his policies or him as a man or whatever. This is about respecting the office of the presidency. This is about respecting the division of, the division of powers of the executive branch, of the legislative branch, of the judicial branch. That's what this is about. And this, with the release of the Twitter file 8, and just to follow along at home, okay, the 8th installment, Twitter file number 8, has come out. And what's come out, of course, is that we already know that the DNC, along with the FBI and the entirety of the U.S. intelligence community, along with the Five Eyes, conspired against Donald Trump and everyone on his team. What was specifically egregious is how they did it and to whom they did it. Go ahead and play segment 1 of video 5. Here it is.
Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so let's rewind the clock. So I was the chief investigator for Devin Nunes in Russiagate. We were exposing in 2017, Hillary paid for it, the corruption of the FISA court, the unlawful surveillance of President Trump. So that was a big enough story, right? The biggest criminal enterprise the FBI had ever perpetrated against a political enemy by breaking the justice system and using it to their advantage for partisan politics. What did we just learn 5 years later? That Google subpoenaed me, Devin Nunes, as chief investigator for my personal phone records, my personal emails, and my personal credit card and financial information when I was exposing Rod Rosenstein and Chris Wray for performing the Russiagate hoax. Not just me, another senior staffer as well. So Devin Nunes' 2 top lawyers, amongst other people, were subpoenaed by the Justice Department in 2017 because, as Devin put it last night, they wanted to go after him and us because we were exposing their corruption.
Hold on.
All right, that's very important for you to understand all of the particulars in that. For the intelligence community, for the FBI, for the Department of Justice, weaponized as it is, to go after, in the manner in which they did, a sitting president and the team of the sitting president, specifically an attorney as well as national security, okay, when you start going down that road, that is where the sedition and treason exists. Nowhere else. There. One more clip by Kash Patel. We'll do this very quickly because of time. This is segment 2, video 5. Go ahead.
small government gangsters. But here's the thing. I only found out 5 years later because Google sent me an email. It's not like the DOJ and FBI. Here's the questions you got to ask. Were chairmen and members of Congress subpoenaed and surveilled? Were other staffers? Was the media? Was my phone calls with private conversations? Remember, at the time they subpoenaed me too, they went so far back as to get my records when I was a terrorism prosecutor at the Department of Justice. These guys will never stop. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. All they care about is maintaining their status quo of power. Guys like Rod Rosenstein and Chris Wray and Bill Barr, as long as it doesn't, as long as the cathedral doesn't fall on their watch, that's all they care about.
You got to remember, always remember this point. I think Tucker played it again last night or the night before. Chris Wray and Bill Barr, who are establishment Republicans and were kind of foisted on President Trump as this is what you need to square things away. They got the laptop from hell in December of 2019. They held on to it because, remember, in November, December of 2019, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders were actually more competitive than Joe Biden. Joe Biden finished fifth in Iowa. Joe Biden finished fourth in New Hampshire. No person in the history of Democratic politics has ever finished fifth and fourth and survived, right? He survived because he was selected by the Praetorian Guard. And that Praetorian Guard is just as much establishment Republican as it is radical Democrat. Any doubt in your mind?
No, and it's not just rampant at DOJ. It's rampant in the intelligence community. It's rampant at CIA with the likes of Gina Haspel, at NSA, at DOD with Chairman Milley and Lloyd Austin. And these people, there is a deep bench of deep staters that will replace these people if and when they decide to leave or retire. Which,
all right, folks, understand what's going on. The revelations, especially with Twitter, the fact that now the left, the libtards, I don't quite understand how they can be okay with the government censorship of a private entity, and that's exactly what they were doing. And that's not only that, the Intelligence Committee was spying internally, weaponized upon, and we're finding this out more and more, upon the individuals involved in the inner circle of the executive branch. And I said it that way because you have to understand, it's not about any one man or any one specific it's about an ideology, and that ideology, of course, is communism. All right, I want to get to this very quickly. Arizona, Wendy Rogers. I want to see people arrested now. For those of you who don't know, Carrie Lake resoundingly won in Arizona, specifically in Maricopa County. Except you've got, in my personal view, you've got a corrupt board of supervisors that majority of them are Republican, and they are elevating Katie Hobbs to the gubernatorial position. Now, Terry Lake filed a lawsuit. There were 10 points of contention within this lawsuit. 8 were dismissed outright by the court. Whether or not you believe they should be, I certainly don't believe so, but okay, they were. So 2 stood the test of the judiciary. The hearing started today. Okay, now, very quickly, here's Wendy Rogers, segment 1, video 8.
I don't know, but there were 10 counts, and great to be with all of you in sunny Phoenix here. There were 10 counts. 8 were not advanced, but the 2 big ones are.
Tell me, why are those the 2 big ones?
Well, the 2 big ones are the machines, basically, and the chain of custody. So I checked in with the team right before I got here so that I could have accurate information. Number 1, the team tells me that this is how we will disclose and lay bare the intentionality of what has happened. This is going to show us that there was intentionality before and during this whole debacle.
So hold on. What you're saying is that this was not just an act of omission. It just didn't happen. This was actually intended. And this is what she put in her suit. And this is what the judge did not throw out, right? This was intentionally done to suppress the vote of Carrie Lake supporters and MAGA voters in Maricopa County on game day, correct?
Yes. And so we're talking, what I want to see his people arrested.
Amen. All right. That's Wendy Rogers and, of course, Arizona. We're going to see how far that gets, because this could very well have implications for previous and even future elections. Will we prevail? Look, I'm not holding my breath, but the fact is this has gotten further on factual matters than other cases have. And I truly believe that once this is exposed, the people and the procedures are exposed, in particular with the machines, it should be melted down and used for the prison bars to hold these people, such as, again, in my opinion, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, all of them, including Bill Gates, and the Secretary of State of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, and others. I believe that we're not going to get anywhere unless we do this. And if it's up to we the people, then so be it. All right. I'll tell you what, we can play segment. I know you've got the other one queued up, but we can play segment. I'm looking at the time here. We can play segment two of the same thing, video eight, to wrap this one up. Go ahead. This would be segment two of video number
counties. I don't represent Maricopa County. And so my constituents tell me that they're disenfranchised.
Amen.
By what Maricopa County has done. And so I come down here to represent them. This is for all of Arizona, arguably the entire nation. This is the first time that we have had a venue, a place to lay out all of
this. The first time in all these lawsuits, all of Mike Lindell's money, all the effort, all of President Trump, even the RNC, everything, this is the first time we're going to adjudicate it in an evidentiary actual trial where you're putting forth the evidence.
And now the second point, I always ask for three main points. And the second point is chain of custody. That is what has been so flawed, the chain of custody. And you talk about Runbeck, this third-party provider. And now there's possible problem with the individual who was selected at the Arizona House to be the House Speaker and his family's relationship with this third-party provider. All of this is now coming out.
You talk about nepotism, okay, you can cut this off. And folks, I would urge you to go to HagmanReport.com and watch all of these in their entirety. But you talk about some really shady dealings in Arizona. You'll find them there. But the machines and chain of custody. One more thing about that. The Biden administration is dropping $500,000 actually on artificial intelligence that detects microaggressions on social media. By the way, the reason I brought this up is because they're using artificial intelligence in Arizona in order to match up signature matchings on ballots. Hey, I'm not making this stuff up, but now Biden's dropping $500,000 on AI that detects microaggressions on social media. What does that mean? We'll have to see, won't we? But it's not going to be anything good. As I wrap this up, I want you to take a look at what I thought was a rather humorous, and I still do, I think it's a rather humorous clip of Jill and Joe Biden and why he deserves his office and another shot at it. Watch this and enjoy this as we wind down on this day.
And together, we're just getting started. This moment reminds us that the presidency is about true leadership, having the forethought to prepare for the worst, the backbone to lead through chaos, the character to move beyond politics and serve every American, no matter where they live or what they believe. Only one candidate in this election has all three. My husband, our next president of the United States, Joe Biden.
Yeah, I know. Say what you will. It cracked me up when I saw it. Maybe it was the time of night or maybe it was something else. I don't know. But that certainly is indicative of or illustrative of his predispositions, at least in my view. All right, folks. Tomorrow, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, coming on with me. I can't wait for that. I wanted to get into also some things about the SARS-CoV-2, as well as something from the X-Files, which 2016, that kind of really predicted everything that we're going through right now. Watch as well something going on in Afghanistan, a mystery disease that's beginning to kill children. Looks a lot like Marburg. Just keep your eyes on that, folks. Have a great night. May God bless.